There are many in our audience who are actually old enough to remember the first Roots. I am, by a few years. Katrina James wrote this to us on Facebook. I watched the original as a 12-year-old with my entire family, having never seen any depiction of slavery before. Luckily, I had great parents that not only consoled me in my fear and anguish at what I saw, but explained why it was important to watch and remember. The new version of that miniseries has attracted curiosity from a younger audience about the history of Africans in America. But does the famous story of Kunta Kinte resonate differently today? I'm joined now by a pair of scholars who've seen both versions of the miniseries. Morehouse College professor Stephanie Jun joins us yet again. Hi, Stephanie.
How are you, Celeste?
It's good to have you with us. And also with us is Arizona State University Matt Delmont. He is author of the forthcoming book, Making Roots, A Nation Captivated. Hi, Matt.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us at what must be relatively early in the morning. I wanted to start, Stephanie, with what we just heard from Asia. And you teach. You are teaching with students who are Asia's age. Does this come up as a subject of conversation about Hollywood, film, and TV treatments of the slave days?
All the time.
Really?
And in the classroom and when I'm lecturing and I'm talking about Hollywood and racial politics has come up a lot, even in the shadow of the Oscars So White discussion. So I'm always engaging a young person in the audience somewhere or in class who is speaking about his dislike of the ways that it seems that Hollywood is investing in narratives about slavery, and that's the only thing that Hollywood wants to invest in. And then I'm in teacher mode saying, name 10 good films that actually go into the heart of slavery. Name 10 motion pictures. I've never met anyone yet who could name them, but I could name 10 to 50 films. If we did the research, there would be 50 films about the Holocaust, as there should be, mind you.
Matt, what do you make of that? The argument that the reason why we have so many treatments of the Holocaust is that we as humans are trying to grapple with it and that we should never forget. That phrase comes up all the time. Does that also remain true for slavery?
I think so. I think it's important to continually go back to the subject. I think in part because it's just still not taught very well in our junior highs and high schools and even at the college level in some cases. It's a history that most Americans would rather not have to confront, and I think it's important for our films and TV shows to deal with it. I think one of the reasons people express this idea that there's too many slave films, they're actually complaining more about the lack of other types of African-American films. So I would love to see Roots and then have that be followed by something on Ida B. Wells or Rosa Parks or Shirley Chisholm. So I think we should have it both ways. We should have these histories of slavery, but then also have more and more diverse stories about African-American history and culture.
So let me play you some comments from people. You were on WNYC Public Radio in New York, Matt, talking about this subject, and some listeners called in to sound off. Here are a sampling of those responses.
I think it's good for today's generation, like the millennials, to see it simply because I think that they, while they have an understanding of what's, you know, that slavery happened.
Only Martin Luther King did a greater service to the African-American community than that movie, because what it did was it brought into the homes of not just African-Americans, but all Americans, what slavery really meant.
It just seems that we have the same narrative over and over again. I'm learning things like every day, you know, of that, you know, this successful black person did or this was invented. You know, you don't care about that kind of thing.
So say what you will, Stephanie, about Roots, whether you like it, think it's good film or not. In one way, maybe all of these people talking and arguing about it means that it is succeeding the remake as well as the first one did. What do you think of that?
I absolutely agree.
Oh, you do?
I think that part of the legacy of the original Roots is not just that the movie was made and that it was about what it was about, but that it started this national conversation, a very difficult conversation that we had previously not really had. I mean, that's the power of popular culture. That's why popular culture needs to be able to engage stories that are traumatic, that do hit at the core of the American psyche. And I think that's why people are able to deal with perhaps the Holocaust in a different way, because that was someone else. That was another country, right, that was indicted in that. But when it comes to American slavery, we, all of us, right, as Americans, that's our story. That is our narrative. And it is perhaps the most shameful. It is the most embarrassing. It is the most difficult. And so, of course, we don't want to go there. really.
That's really interesting, Matt, because the Holocaust is perhaps, this is, I don't see any way of saying this that could be construed wrong, but the Holocaust perhaps might be easier to stomach for modern Americans. And I say that because we can say, look, here's the evil Nazis, right? They are the bad guys. We can have Captain America fighting those people. Whereas here, if we treat slavery, then the quote unquote bad guy are Americans, and they're Americans who are ancestors of Americans. Even myself, who comes from a slave background, part of my ancestry is a slave owner. That makes these Hollywood treatments more difficult, Matt, don't you think?
I think absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that was so powerful and is so powerful about the Roots story is that it's a generational story. So it's a story about African-Americans who have legacies as the descendants of enslaved people. But it also asks white Americans to think about, you know, when did your families come here and were your families involved in the slave trade in some way? I mean, I think the comparison between slavery and the Holocaust, the best index of that is that there are a dozen museums to the Holocaust in the United States. There only is now the first couple of museums that commemorate and memorialize the slave trade and the legacy of slavery in the United States.
That's interesting. We would love to hear from listeners, and we wonder if you watched Roots back then in 1977, and if you've seen the new version, you can join the conversation on Facebook. Sherna Trapp writes there, I watched the original as a child. I'm sure I revisited the story as I got older. As I watched the reboot, I didn't have the same feelings I had with the original. The original was the first of its kind and told the story and shocked the world. This one was for us, for me. I was proud watching this rendition. I felt the portrayals were heroic, even though they were in a terrible situation that they did not put themselves in. I've been talking about this each day and DVR'd to watch again and again. And then we get this from Doris Hines. She says, I watched the first one as an adult and history major in high school. Haven't watched the remake. The first one was enough for me. However, I do feel the young people of this generation could benefit from knowing about our history, but many of them probably aren't watching. It's sad. So let me play you, Stephanie and Matt, a couple clips. I'm speaking with Morehouse College professor Stephanie Dunn and Arizona State University professor Matt Delmont. He's author of the book Making Roots, A Nation Captivated. So let me play you a clip. The first one is from the original version. The second one is from this 2016 version. Just a warning for listeners, the next clip contains language that has the potential to offend some, so listen with discretion. In this, they're both treating the same scene from the book in which the enslaved character Kunta Kente is being told that he needs to accept his slave name, Toby. So here's the first one.
Who are you? Say your name. Say it louder so they all can hear you. What's your name?
Toby. My name is Toby.
Hi. That's a good nigger.
Okay, so that was the original version. Let's hear that same scene from 2016.
Say it. Say it. Say it. Say it. Say your name. Say it. What's your name? What's your name?
Okay, so Stephanie, that's even difficult to listen to. So let's talk for just a moment about the emotional trauma we keep putting people through. And I'm not just talking about African Americans. That is difficult for anyone to listen to. I have to imagine that is very difficult for someone who knows that they are the descendant of a slave owner. I imagine it would be equally, if not more, traumatic as well. So how do we grapple with putting people through that trauma over and over?
You know, Langston Hughes, who's one of my favorite writers, wrote in a work of his that we know that we are beautiful and ugly too. And in James Baldwin's 1963, The Fire Next Time, he talks about how our past is full of, yes, the lynch rope, the lash, and so forth and so forth. But he's also talking about the importance of knowing and being able to confront our past as a source of empowerment. I would ask people to think about this. I do not see slave narratives as stories merely about victimization. That is to miss how they are also stories of survival and resistance and triumph about the human spirit's ability to live and to want to live, right, in the midst of what would seem wholly impossible. It is the story of how we got here. And in that story of how we got here, we have to be able to deal with the beautiful and the ugly and never see ourselves. I do not teach my son or my students to see themselves as victims in slavery.
We have this comment from Zach on Facebook who says, I was just listening to the thoughtful commentary by the student read on air. I think she made great points, but the idea of slavery as a film subject is also connected to society and its history. For instance, slavery and civil rights is without question more connected to average Americans than the history of Egypt or Nubia. And Matt, if Stephanie's inspiring words are a great message for people of African-American descent, what message... The comment we often get from those who are white when they watch things like this is that they're sick of people trying to make them feel guilty. What message would a white audience take away from Roots?
I think one of the things that made this such a powerful story when Alex Haley wrote it as a book, and then when ABC first broadcast it, when broadcast again, is seeing this as an American story, right? Understanding how deep African-American roots run in the United States, understanding how central slavery was to the creation of our nation, that's a story that's important for all of us to hear, regardless of racial backgrounds. I think for white viewers, I think the sense to retreat to a position of feeling guilty is actually the exact wrong thing. What Roots ask you to do is to identify with the African-American characters. And that's radical for a lot of non-African-American viewers to do, is to see Kunta Kente, see Kizzy, and have those people be the focus of your attention. I think it's important to recognize that as a generational story, Roots helps us understand how people benefited from or were harmed by the history of slavery. And that's something that viewers need to reckon with. I think popular culture can help encourage those conversations. By all means, it's not going to be the thing that fixes everything, but it can help force people to have conversations they might not otherwise have.
And I want to say really quickly, too, that I hope that we do not believe the hype that there are so many films about slavery or that Hollywood is suddenly, as I say in my article in The Atlantic, Hollywood has never been invested in producing a bunch of stories that go into the heart of slavery. I would be heartbroken if we don't see someday something like the narrative, The Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl. When has there been a narrative from the perspective of a Black woman who survived against incredible odds and made something of herself coming out of slavery? Where is that narrative?
That is the always enthusiastic and passionate Morehouse College professor Stephanie Dunn. Arizona State University professor Matt Delmont joined us as well. His new book is Making Roots, A Nation Captivated, and it comes out in August. Matt and Stephanie, thank you.
Thank you for having us. Looking
thank
forward
so
to the book,
us.
Matt.
That's our show for today, and I here's my question for you. What time period would you make a movie about if you could? Do you think there's a time in American history that does not get enough attention? Tell us what that is. You've been very passionate about the subject of Roots. Here's a few more comments about the remake from GPB listeners on Facebook. C. O'Neill Black writes, I watched it and I loved it. I was skeptical, but they done a very good job. I was pleased they maintained the integrity of the story. Twanda Williams says, there were many moments I questioned myself as to how I would have responded within the same scenarios. The hurts, disappointments, love, and strength portrayed required much forethought. It didn't hurt one bit that Kunta Kinte and his father Omoro were the deepest shade of earth that is not nearly celebrated enough. Very easy on the eyes. We're at facebook.com/onsecondthoughtradio. We're on Twitter at OSD Talk, or you can just call us and leave a message. It's 404-500-9457. For today, that is On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headlee. Have a great day.